Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
This is the Herd on a Friday. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Blazing 5, 1 hour from now, sports gambling is legal in America. The Supreme Court said, please get your coins, your cryptocurrency. 1 hour from now, Blazing 5 picks. It's a week with a lot of movement on the lines. I generally don't go after the biggest games, but the biggest games are the one I like this week. Joy Taylor is joining me on a Friday. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. This is usually on Friday. We try to talk about the game last night. Of course, it was a blowout, but that doesn't mean it's not interesting. So let's start with something we predicted before the season started, that John Gruden and the Raiders would not work. John Gruden is great at selling himself. He is, and that is a skill. That is a skill. That's why he's a TV star. If you watch Monday Night Football this year, they could use him, and he's missed. Most great football coaches in NFL history are not great at selling themselves. Chuck Knoll of the Steelers was not. Tom Landry of the Cowboys was not. Bill Walsh, Belichick, Parcells, Paul Brown. They were not television stars. Bill Walsh was actually, the late Bill Walsh was kind of bad on television. Through the sheer force of personality, John Gruden has sold himself as the quarterback whisperer. He's had 12. One popped Rich Gannon. If you go 1 for 12, I'm probably going to give the player more of the credit, Rich Gannon, than the coach, John Gruden. I did think it was interesting and ironic last night that Kyle Shanahan, a guy who does not sell himself, who is the actual quarterback whisperer, took a guy none of us, myself included, had ever heard of and won a game in a rout over a former Pro Bowler, Derek Carr. But Kyle Shanahan does not sell himself. He doesn't talk. He's kind of rigid. He's a football guy through and through. Last night, John Gruden is not only not the quarterback whisperer, he was the second best quarterback coach in the Bay Area. Nick Mullins, no idea. Chris Mullins, I know. Nick Mullins, no idea. Looked brilliant. By the way, Dick Vitale and John Gruden have something in common. They're both better on TV than they were coaching their sport. Vitale, like Gruden, is an amazing, amazing marketer. He is the biggest name in college basketball, or at least was for 20 years. That's not a criticism. Dick was great at selling himself. Chuck Daly wasn't. Greg Popovich isn't. Brad Stevens doesn't. Bill Self, not so much. It is a skill to sell yourself. And by the way, the guy in the White House right now got there on sheer power of personality, not policy. It's a skill. And Gruden, Vitale, Trump, they're great at it. There's an energy. There's this sort of just knocks you the wind out of you. But Kyle Shanahan last night was facing the quarterback whisperer. Kyle Shanahan made RG3 the rookie of the year. He left him. He was a bust. He made Matt Schaub a Pro Bowler. He made Matt Ryan the MVP. For about an hour, people were saying, you know, Matt Ryan's better than Aaron Rodgers. And they're neck and neck. No, they're not neck and neck. And by the way, Brian Hoyer with Kyle Shanahan had a winning record. Let me finish the sentence. In Cleveland, we had a quarterback whisperer on display last night, but he does not sell himself. And Derek Carr is now officially a better quarterback with defensive-minded Jack Del Rio than with that quarterback whisperer guy. But again, I get why Gruden was a TV star. Monday Night Football, they miss him. I get why I was glued to that quarterback camp thing he did at ESPN. I get why he got this job. I get why owners and GMs for years offered him gigs. I saw that interview with Howie Long. It jumps through the television set. Watch.
I got a cell phone just like you and everybody else. Right. And I get a lot of phone calls from people that are dying to come and play here. I'm just telling you, they're dying to play for the Raiders.
He's Tony Robbins with a whistle. I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, I wish I could play. I want to play for the Raiders.
He sounded a little bit presidential there, didn't he?
Trump.
It is the very best.
Gruden.
We have the best organization.
Amazing.
Trust me.
Terrible.
The very best.
Great.
Everyone's dying to come here.
It is. That's what he does. What, he won a Super Bowl? Sometimes things line up. Mike Ditka won a Super Bowl. Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl. And John Gruden with Tony Dungy's defensive personnel won a Super Bowl. But I never bought into this move because I thought Gruden was a great television star and an average coach who'd never really proven he can build anything. Chris Carter was on First Things First this morning. I'm not saying he can't coach, but the idea that he's ever proven he can go in and rebuild a mess, I've never seen it.
I don't believe John Gruden knows how to build a champion. All right? When he won a championship, he did that with Tony Dungy and what Tony Dungy had built. So I don't believe John knows how to build a champion. He's going about it the wrong way. And I know this is common right now to not necessarily speak the truth or just make stuff up and just lie. But that's what John Gruden was doing. When he sat down with Howie Long and he told him that lie that people are calling him, people are ringing off his phone, that's a blatant lie.
Maybe I won't go that far, but I'll say it again. The qualities that make you a great TV star are generally the opposite of the qualities that make you a great football coach. And let's shift gears to this. This weekend, we are going to watch the two best quarterbacks in the NFL, along with Drew Brees. Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady will play this weekend. It will be magnificent. It will be in Foxborough. It will be Sunday night. I will be glued to my television set. Earlier in the week, Tom Brady talked about how great Aaron Rodgers is. Very classy of Aaron Rodgers yesterday to talk about how great Tom Brady was. He said, quote, he's able to make subtle movements his entire career to create space. It's an innate sense. Tom's always been great with his eyes, able to manipulate defenders, move them out of the way, lanes. He and Brett are the two best I've seen on film. That was nice of Aaron to do. He's a smart guy. He gets the game. A lot of you think I don't like Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers doesn't think I like him, but I do. I put Aaron Rodgers in a very interesting class with LeBron James and Andrew Luck. What if? What if LeBron, first 7 years, had an owner and a GM that could have gotten him other good players? What if Andrew Luck's first 6 years in Indianapolis weren't marked by utter chaos? What if Aaron Rodgers was given great defenses or had Belichick? Being a legend is about a marriage. Michael Jordan didn't win squat without Pippen and Phil Jackson. And Kobe never won anything without Phil, Gasol, or Shaq. Brady's got Belichick. Sean Payton's got Breeze. Tiger Woods had the right golf coach in his prime. Bill Russell had Arbach. Jeter and Mariano not only had Torrey, but they had the Yankee brand. It's much easier to get saves when you lead going into the ninth. You wouldn't have in that era with the Pirates or Royals. I am never disappointed in Aaron Rodgers. I'm disappointed for Aaron Rodgers. What if he had Belichick? What if, like Big Ben, he had Le'Veon Bell behind him? What if, like Jared Goff, he was in a free agent friendly market? What if, like Drew Brees, he had an offensive genius? This weekend, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers will play. Probably for the last time. You've been cheated, I've been cheated, and most of all, Aaron Rodgers has been cheated.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Ben Shapiro's a political pundit. He's a conservative. He has a great line. He said, "I don't care if my facts get in the way of your feelings." I think it's a funny line, and it's accurate. I'm going to say something, and I'm sorry if it hurts your feelings, but it's a fact. Hugh Jackson came out yesterday and did some talking. And he talked about he was fired. And he said in Cleveland, quote, "We passed on three franchise quarterbacks in my first 2 years, Wentz, Watson, and Mahomes. There's no way that should have happened. You do not pass on a potential franchise quarterback. You just don't know what he's going to be in the future." Here's the facts. I was told last year and the year before that Hugh Jackson did want Wentz and he did want Patrick Mahomes. He wanted Wentz and Deshaun Watson. I can't, through a source, verify that he wanted Patrick Mahomes. That I don't know. But two people I trust before the draft told me Hugh Jackson wants Wentz. Cleveland passed. Hugh Jackson wanted Deshaun Watson, and Cleveland passed. I'm sorry if you don't like Hugh. I'm sorry if you're a Brown fan and you think this was the right move. That's a fact. Hugh Jackson wanted Wentz and would not have gone 0-16 with Wentz, and he wanted Deshaun Watson. I cannot, through my sources, verify the Mahomes thing. He could be telling the truth. I just can't prove it. But the other ones, and I said it on the air with Wentz a couple years ago, Hugh Jackson wanted him. He also said this, and again, sorry if this hurts your feelings. You'll have to put down the pom-poms if you live in Ohio. Did you hear what he said about Baker Mayfield? He said, "I think Baker Mayfield's going to be a sensational player if they surround him with the right people, but they've got to give him help and run a scheme suited to his skill set." Now, on its surface, it doesn't seem like much, but there are some key words here that nobody is mentioning. "I think he's going to be sensational if they surround him with the right people, give him help to run a scheme suited to his skill set." Nobody says that about Tom Hanks or DiCaprio. You know, I think if we give Tom this role, if we get him the right people and, you know, we get him help so it's suited to it. No, Tom Hanks is a movie star. He makes it work. Nobody ever said that about Carson Wentz, John Elway, Andrew Luck. They're ballers. They look and play like number one picks. If you walked in to a general manager as a regional scout, and you tried to make an argument for a number one pick, you would be laughed out of a room if you said, "Listen, I think this kid, if we surround him with the right people and we do a scheme suited to his skill set, could be really good." You know what you're describing? A fourth round pick, a third round pick. Hugh Jackson yesterday told the truth. Is that he wanted Wentz and Deshaun Watson, and they wouldn't listen to him. And from those words, he is telling you exactly the truth, what I was told from various scouts on Baker. It's a lot of "I think," "if," "right people," "help," "skill," "suited to certain things." That is not a number one pick. I'll give Ben Shapiro credit again. Sorry if my facts hurt your feelings, but Hugh's right. But in the culture we live in America in 2018, it's much easier to go to the interweb, Twitter, Instagram, and bash the unemployed and hammer the recently fired and crush those who are unpopular. Today, Hugh Jackson is an easy guy to take the anvil out on. Fired, bitter, and accurate. You know, his comments.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
He's a Pro Bowler and a Super Bowl champ and a former Packer. And Aaron Sunday night, Greg Jennings, you are a straight shooter. So I said there's been some what if guys in the last several years in sports. What if LeBron's first 7 years in Cleveland, they got him one All-Star? What if Andrew Luck wasn't under siege for his first 7 years? Now he's got support. Mm-hmm. What if Aaron Rodgers had Sean Payton or Belichick? He's one of those guys. deep down, you're as honest as anybody I bring on. You cannot tell me that Aaron Rodgers hasn't thought, what if, a couple of times.
We all think what if, but absolutely he's thought what if. No doubt in my mind that Aaron Rodgers has thought, man, if I had Belichick, I would have won. I don't know. I think it's limitless, really. It's one of those things where you look at, and I've heard this, well, Aaron Rodgers' personality wouldn't mesh with Belichick. I 100% disagree with that because I don't think he and Mike McCarthy's personalities just mesh.
Oh, no, I think they're opposites.
Because you got to understand, when Aaron Rodgers came into the league, when Tom Brady came into the league, they both came in with chips on their shoulder. Like, why they both felt like they should have been drafted higher. They both felt more about themselves than what obviously the evaluators and the GMs thought. The thing about Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy that people miss sometimes, who was the number one overall pick the year Aaron Rodgers came out?
Alex Smith.
Who was his offensive coordinator?
Mike McCarthy. So Mike McCarthy
had something to do, obviously,
with selecting over Aaron.
And so Aaron, I remember being in meetings, and it would just be so random. And Aaron will take a shot at Mike, like, oh yeah, like how you picked Alex Smith. Yeah, okay. like I mean, that's just so when you look at that relationship, and
it's always been something frosty.
So, and I think Belichick, with Aaron understanding the respect that he would demand, he would give him that, and he would kind of pull back because of winning. You think Tom Brady doesn't have an ego? He does. You think he doesn't have he does, but winning will suppress some of those things. It's like, you know what? Let me fall back. Because we're going to win. I know if there's one thing I can trust this guy to do is win.
No, I think you bring up a great point, is that here's something I know about Aaron. And I don't know Aaron. I've met him. He cares what people think. So he does. Aaron,
you'll never get a chance to really sit down and meet Aaron.
No.
He doesn't like you.
He doesn't like me. That's okay. No, that's okay. A lot of people don't like me. It's okay.
He's not going to come on the couch.
No,
Aaron,
no, he's not coming on the show.
He doesn't. You know, he doesn't like me. That's okay. I'm totally. I'm really okay with it. I said this morning. He's great. I think he can be a little thin-skinned, a little Kevin Durant. When you get to be a superstar, you're not married, no kids. You go home by yourself in Green Bay. You turn on TV on your phone, and sometimes you can get conspiratorial. And I've noticed this in my business. I've noticed it in sports. Once you have kids, you're married, you're stuck, you're busy, you're off the phone, you just don't have time.
Yeah.
You're just busy as hell. So, and I think Aaron sometimes cooks up some stuff and worries too much about what people think. But he does care what people think, and I think that's not a terrible quality in human beings. And I think that has given him more than time to pause and think, God, what if? They've given him one great defense. It's the year he won the Super Bowl. They've given him no running game for 4 years.
Here's another thing that I think a lot of people miss. When you look at Mike McCarthy and Bill Belichick, Bill Belichick has been given the option, or not the option, but the authority to where he can make personnel decisions.
Yes.
Mike McCarthy, he's not making personnel decisions. So you have a different dynamic with both of those guys, and they've seen it differently because they've had to handle things differently. They've had to – where Belichick can put the pieces he want in place.
Yes.
McCarthy has never had that as an option.
You know the other thing? And I'm guessing here. I don't have this sourced. But I just – you know Aaron, and I don't. So is that – now Aaron signed this huge deal. And Aaron, again, he is, and this is not a bad quality. It's the reality of being 35, a superstar in America, not married, no kids. You know, you're watching more TV. You're on the phone probably a little more. Is that now that he signed a big television, a big contract?
Basically a television contract.
it is really in the NFL. Yeah. So he signs this big contract, and we're all talking about the contract, and he goes out Sunday and loses, and you're like, well, you know, Tom takes pay cuts. I mean, Aaron's the highest paid. Aaron doesn't need to win to prove me anything, but I do think Aaron senses if I start not winning my division with this contract, people are going to say we can't afford anybody because of Aaron's contract. It's not spoken about, but I think Aaron's too smart. He thinks about everything. Aaron thinks about everything. I think he's got that up there thinking, if I start finishing second and third in my division, my contract's going to become a topic.
Well, I think every player thinks like that. Anytime a guy gets paid, especially when they're the top at their position or the top in the league in this case, you don't want your play to drop and you don't want your overall team's performance to drop because you're going to take the blame regardless. It's going to be – look at Odell Beckham. Like, it's going – he's having a good year.
Yeah.
But the Giants are poor, and it's like, well, he's making all this money. Why aren't they better? Well, it's only so much he can do. It's in Aaron Rodgers' position, at the quarterback position, it's a lot more that you could do. We've seen it with Flacco over in Baltimore where he decided, no, give back that Brinks truck up to me.
And by the way, they didn't have a tight end and a good receiver for 4 years after
that. And then they struggled.
Because they couldn't afford perimeter players.
They couldn't afford anybody.
So I just think it's something. All right, two topics here. I predicted before the season, I said, great television stars, Dick Vitale, Gruden, don't generally have the personalities to be great coaches. And, you know, Gruden caught Tony Dungy's team, Barry Switzer caught Jimmy Johnson's, Ditka, Buddy Ryan. There are times when things line up, you win a Super Bowl, you write a book, you're a star. But to me, Gruden's a TV star. And that magnetic energy, I think, falls flat very quickly with players. I never bought into this Oakland thing. I mean, that's my takeaway. He's built for TV, actually. You watch Monday Night Football this year. They miss Gruden. That's not a shot at anybody. They miss him. I think he's more built for television, where I thought he was an amazing analyst. I don't think he's built for the new NFL. Why do you think he's struggling?
Well, when you look at TV, you have to be entertaining. You have to do something. You have to act. You have to portray this persona,
yeah.
Perception. You have to be big. You have to be loud. You have to be obnoxious at times. you have to be unlikable. Like, all these things. In the locker room, I don't want any of that. I want what's real. And what's real is not what we saw, even in the snippet sit-down that we saw with Howie Long, one of our own. Like, they're the haters. Like, what? If all these guys want to be here, if you're getting all these guys, the trade deadline when that was going on was still in effect. Like, you can still, let's go get them. Let's bring them in here. And I just don't see it. Last night,
that was...
it just looked like, I mean, every time they showed him on the sideline, it just looked like he was in it by himself. Like, dude, you're by yourself. Even when Derek Carr would stand next to him, there was really no, like, engagement. It was kind of like,
by the way, it's a very smart comment by you.
It was kind of like, okay.
This is what I said about Matt Patricia week one. Matt Patricia may have been on a sideline. Matt Patricia was by himself.
Yes.
Belichick is talking to people.
Always.
Always people. Last night, John Gruden was on an island.
It was like,
so hey. If I see that and you see that, what's the room like?
There is no way that you can tell me the players in that locker room trust John Gruden right now. If there is no trust, I'm not going to give you everything that I got. I can't, because I don't know if that's even going to be enough. Are you giving me everything that you got? Are you giving me what's real? But you want me to pour all of me to you, but you're giving me this fake, phony something, substance.
Raiders.
Like, I don't want that. Like, just be who you are.
Finally, Hugh Jackson. I defended him this morning. I was told by somebody I trust he did want Carson Wentz and he did want Deshaun Watson. And he said that. Nobody wants to hear it. I said this last year. He wanted Carson Wentz and he wouldn't go 0-16 without him and he wouldn't have Baker Mayfield. So we're all crushing Hugh today. And I'm not saying he's Belichick or Sean Payton. You just think he's bitter?
He's definitely bitter.
Have you ever been bitter?
Of course I've been bitter. When things happen to you and you get a microphone and a camera in your face, you're going to say things that you emotionally, feelings, everything is going to come out. When I left Green Bay.
You were bitter?
Was I bitter? Absolutely, I was bitter. I wanted to stay. Hugh Jackson wanted to still be coaching his team right now, but he's not. And so when I left, of course, now what I said, was it true? Absolutely, 100%. Truth. Should I have said it?
What did you say?
I said that Aaron Rodgers wasn't the leader that everybody thinks that Ooh-wee. He is. He's sensitive.
Well, he is sensitive.
All these things that are true, but it wasn't the fact that it was true. It was, why are you saying it now? Because I would have never said it when I was in the locker room. If a reporter asked me a question about Aaron Rodgers, Absolutely not. I would have deflected it. No, he's great, man. He's a great teammate.
But
he's
you were this. Bitter.
I was bitter. And for more reasons, because I felt like other things had transpired I'm not gonna get into. Not today isn't the day. One of these days we're gonna sit right here and I'm just gonna share.
There's no day like today, Greg.
There is a day like today. We just haven't experienced it, Joy.
No time like the present.
Saying.
I never knew you to be bitter. You're so likable and fun.
I knew you
when you were a Packer. I used to tell people all the time at the other place, I'm like, hey, you know, I years ago, Dilfer came on my show, and I told my former executives, I said, that guy's going to be a good broadcaster. And I interviewed you at a Super Bowl in some small room one time, and I'm like, dude, whenever that guy gets out of football, go hire him. Your career is in my hands.
Like today.
Carrying you.
Do we have time?
Let's take a break. I want to hear your bitterness.
No, we have time.
Let's say, look, Joey. Like,
I'll just take a break. Okay. And then bitter Greg Jennings.
I'm not bitter anymore.
But you were bitter.
I was bitter.
I want to hear your bitter side next. It's the Herd.
What's up, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out podcast, brought to you by Colin Cowherd's Podcast Network. Got a big Friday show for you. The Gruden debacle keeps on rolling down the tracks. Where will Mike McCarthy end up if he is soon to be fired by the Packers? Michigan is rolling now. USC's probably going to need a coach. And you know I go around the league. If you like Colin's show, you will like mine. I talk a ton of football. 3 and Out podcast with John Middlecoff. That's me.
We started talking about, Greg's being brutally honest this morning. He brought up a really interesting fact that Aaron Rodgers, McCarthy was on the San Francisco staff that picked Alex Smith over Aaron. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know this. Aaron took shots at him when you were in rooms. They were good natured, but they were still shots.
Absolutely.
And you mentioned that you were bitter. And I said, I've known you for several years. I've never seen bitter Greg Jennings. Go back to your last year in Green Bay. Tell me the story.
So my last year in Green Bay, I'm contract year. I wanted to be in Green Bay.
You're a Pro Bowler.
I didn't want to leave. But our first game of the season, we're playing San Francisco, the 49ers, in Lambeau. And it's a timeout. Carlos Rogers, corner, comes up to me. He's playing with the 49ers. He's like, man, what's going on, man? Why aren't they getting you the ball? Why they got you running these little simple routes? And I'm like, I don't know, man. You know how I go. When you contract year, you don't know what's going on. Aaron is right here. He's kind of listening to the conversation. He says, you guys should get him after this year. You guys should try to get him. I look like, what? Like, this is the first game of the season. And my guy is already pretty much passed me along. And you want to know why I said what I said? And you want to know why? And everyone wants to be like, Greg, he was bitter. He was basically done with me.
Time out. Have you ever said this before?
I've said this. I've never said it like like this.
If somebody, you have every right. And again, I don't want this to be a bash Aaron, but. Listen, that an opposing player, because when I'm watching you, it reminds me how damn good you were. You were tall. You were really a great. You were a Pro Bowler, and all of a sudden you get to contract year. That a rival goes up and says, "Dude, you're running all these squirrely little routes. You got 4.45 speed. You're tall. You're a red zone target." And then Aaron says that. This is, of course.
I mean, altered, like I couldn't get over that. I mean, this is I had brought you into my fold. You know, my family, my kids, and then I started understanding, like, this is truly a business, and guys are selfish, and rightfully so. I mean, his deal was coming up the year after. Clay's was coming up in a couple years. I mean, Clay was the face of the defense. He's going to get his. I'm not the face of the offense. Aaron is. I mean,
That was in your mind every play.
Yeah, and so for me, like, I remember talking to some of the coaches, and I'm like, dude, I'm not going to be here, man. Like, I'm not going to be – because I didn't want to be somewhere where I was always questioning
that. Of course.
That.
Of course.
Like, that was – as much as we had done –
See, I don't see you – I don't think that's bitter.
Like, that – it messed – no, Colin, it messed me up. Like, I'm not – it – that disturbed me. So when I did leave, and on that, on top of all of what I did already know, and how I did feel, like, you, when you're in a relationship, you overlook a lot of things. Nope. Because you're in that relationship and you want that relationship to work. You want to give everything to it. And so you're willing to overlook every flaw, and every relationship has them. But when you're now out of that relationship, you either walk away and you're like, no, they're fine, they're great, you're on great terms, or you walk away and it's messy. And that's what happened. That's what started it for me. When my quarterback, the first game of the season,
your man, your guy,
pretty tells another guy, you guys should get him. Wait a minute, we should keep me. Like, what? Like,
listen, I get it. Listen.
Like, it bothers me to this day, because it changed my whole mental.
I think that is. I tell people this all the time. Two things about pro athletes. Media people don't get this. Media people are so sensitive. The idea that my company would trade me for a weekend sportscaster and it wouldn't hurt my feelings. What if tomorrow Eric Shanks goes, listen, we like you, but we just traded you for two overnight guys and a secretary to be named later? I'd be like, I'm going to go jump off a bridge. Athletes get treated like car parts. And your careers are short to begin with. You get no choice on where you live.
No.
You are traded like an end table at a furniture store. So the idea that you're sensitive, well, hell, of course you're sensitive.
And whenever they do have some leverage and try and maneuver their own careers, like,
then we're
the bad guys.
We're the bad guys.
They're selfish.
Selfish Greg Jennings.
Yeah, man.
Shame on you.
And so that's kind of what took place. So when I would hear things like, I remember Max Kellerman, Greg Jennings has an axe to grind with Aaron. You dang Skippy, I do. You know what? It has nothing to do with it's the fact that he said that. And he didn't just say it to me in the privacy of our locker room or some. He said it to me, to another guy on another roster, for basically saying, here, you can have him. Like, would you have a problem with that?
This is a very petty Friday, and I'm here for it.
This has been great. I love your honesty. You need to be. Man. You need to be supported and loved. But thank God you have a good family.
After saying all of that, my end goal, like,
is to be a Packer in the Ring of Honor.
No, that's not it.
Okay, I gotta go. I got 8 seconds.
I would love to be able to sit down and have a real conversation with Aaron.
So would I, but it's not gonna happen.
That's kind of how I feel too.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like. Warning, Colin is about to reveal the outcomes of the biggest college football games this week. If you don't want to know exactly what's going to happen, turn away now.
Okay, Alabama goes on the road to take on LSU. This has become a very lopsided rivalry. Alabama has won the last 7 meetings, and they've mostly looked the same. LSU has scored less than 20 points in each of the last games against Alabama because it's a fairly one-dimensional offense run by LSU. This is a coaching mismatch. Now, I do think Alabama leads the SEC in sacks, so LSU would like to throw it a little but won't have much success. The offensive matchup here is a dual threat. Alabama can run, throw short, throw deep. Their quarterback can move. And LSU pretty much wants to pound it. I will say this, though. Keep your eye on this. if it's close late third quarter, Alabama has not been in a close game all year long. And for teams sometimes in college sports, and you don't see this in pro sports, when a team in college sports just dominates and they finally face a little adversity on the road, 80,000, really loud, and LSU's got as many NFL guys as Bama does, that's where they could get a little tight. I don't see that happening. I think Alabama, it's close at half, pulls away third quarter, makes adjustments. Spoiler alert, Alabama wins 34-20. Other great game, Michigan and Penn State. Oh, last year they played and Penn State rubbed Michigan's nose in it. Will not happen this year. Michigan leads college football in total defense, allowing 14 a game. That's the fewest in the Big Ten. They don't turn it over. It's a pretty conservative game plan by Jim Harbaugh. It is old school football. They lead the league in time of possession. Michigan wants to run it. They want to squeeze the clock. They don't want to give you opportunities. They don't turn it over, and they play great defense. In fact, their third down defense may be the best part of their defense at Michigan. I think Penn State's going to get swamped. It's a revenge game for the Wolverines, and I think they're going to win it. Michigan going away. Ups, spoiler alert, 34-20 in this game as well. Michigan looks better, is better, pulls away. By the way, so Harbaugh and Saban are the big conversation here. You know, everybody lives in the moment. I mean, Kevin Durant wins the MVP of the finals. He's better than LeBron. Hey, Kevin's better than LeBron. I just saw on television. He's better than LeBron. I mean, no, he's not. Stop talking. LeBron's better than KD. It's not close. But everybody lives in the moment, right? And like right now in the moment, Saban is number one. Harbaugh's terrible. Harbaugh's the better coach. Harbaugh's gone 4-for-4. San Diego, home run. San Diego, Stanford, home run. NFL, Super Bowl. Michigan, boom. By the way, you do get Nick Saban. Michigan State, Nick Saban did not hit a home run at Michigan State. He won 58% of his games. Mike D'Antonio, grumpy guy, has won 68% of his games. Mark D'Antonio. D'Antonio is a better coach at Michigan State by far than Nick Saban was. And then, well, what about LSU? What about it? Nick Saban won 75% of his games in a title. Les Miles won 77% of his games in a title. Well, what about the NFL? Harbaugh got to a Super Bowl. Saban bombed. Harbaugh's the more impressive coach. When you can do it over and over and over and over, Harbaugh is 4-for-4 and was a massive home run. You know how many great coaches have coached in the NFL and don't even get to a Super Bowl? God, I can name Don Coryell. I mean, I can name five off the top of my head great coaches who couldn't get to a Super Bowl. I mean, Barry Switzer won one. You know, so Harbaugh is at a school, Michigan, which is a top academic school in a region of the country that doesn't have nearly the players. In high school, Harbaugh's better than Nick Saban as a coach. I just said it. Say it again. He's got a more impressive resume. Go look at Michigan State and LSU and examine them. D'Antonio and Les Miles won more games. They did. Sorry, just facts.
What do the wise guys wear? I get asked that from time to time. The answer is the new gear from the HerdNow.com merchandise store. We are now officially open for business. We have all the apparel diehard Herd fans need to represent the show. Go to theherdnow.com. If you don't, that's a you problem. And that's a you problem is one of our shirts. Check it out, theherdnow.com. The herdnow.com store is open for business today.